Well, God bless you, Brother John. I enjoyed that so very much. Take your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 29, if you will. It is such a good joy to be able to see people in the parking lot. Last week, of course, we had to evacuate as well. And I went over to Newburgh, and Miss Vicki and I, we stayed with Dr. Stuart Mason, pastor of Timberline Baptist Church in Sherwood, and they very graciously allowed us to have two of their bedrooms, and we stayed there in fellowship for several days and got to go out to eat a little bit and reminisce. But I was thinking last Sunday was our 36th anniversary as a church. And I was all prepared to preach an anniversary message, and of course we didn't get to. And I was telling Dr. Mason, I said, this is the most amazing thing. We're 36 years old as a church, and we have no one in church today. But 36 years ago, we had at least 75 people that showed up for our very first service. I said, are we going forward or are we going backwards? I don't know. But I was thrilled on our first year anniversary. We had 154 and God blessed. And we've had so many wonderful anniversaries. Last week, of course, we didn't. But I just felt like, well, Lord, it's your church. You know what's going on. This too shall pass. Amen? Amen. But I am doing something I've done a few times throughout the 36 years of our church. I am preaching this morning the very first sermon that I preached 36 years ago in the Carpenter's Hall on September the 12th, 1984, as Miss Vicki and I had gathered with our two children, and we were hoping that people would show up for our very first service. I had knocked on 4,000 doors throughout the Oregon City area, inviting people in the 4 weeks that led up to that, 1,000 a week. And we were just hoping that people would show up. And praise the Lord, we had 75 people show up that very first Sunday. Three of them gave their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were on our way as a church. God has been so good to us throughout the years, far, far better than we ever deserve. And all the glory and praise goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We started with 50 songbooks and everything else the Lord Jesus provided. And I want to thank faithful people such as yourselves who throughout these years have provided for this property, these buildings, this place that we have to assemble on this corner. It has been the faithful men and women, teenagers, boys and girls of Grandview Baptist Church throughout the years, many of whom are already in heaven waiting for us, that sacrificially gave and served so that you and I could enjoy the church that we have today. And may I say, I firmly believe that the best days of our church are all ahead of us. As good as the past has been, God has great things in store. I preached out of Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. And the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. 36 years ago, I preached on the need for a vision, a need for a vision. And I want to do that this morning as well. For those of you who have been with us for maybe a few months, maybe a few years, or those who've been with us for 15 or 20 years, there are few of you who were there 36 years ago, and I praise God for you as well. Most of us are way into retirement. I'm not there yet, but most everyone else that was at that service is. I preached on a need for a vision. God had led our family from Arkansas 2,400 miles by the way we went on the road to get to Oregon. We'd never been there. We didn't know a single soul. But we knew that the Lord laid on our heart to go to the state that was the most unchurched state in the country. I believe that it's either second or third now. I believe our church put it into the second or third place instead of the first place. Praise God for that. Amen. Amen. I preached on vision. I'd pastored in the South. I spoke at a lot of churches around the South. And one of the things that I saw that was most needed was a vision for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I wanted Grandview Baptist Church to be founded on a vision to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I preached on that subject, the need for a vision. I talked about the different illustrations I'd heard along the lines. I heard about a boy that was around dark taking his BB gun and aiming at the moon and pulling the trigger and shooting BBs at the moon. One man in the neighborhood happened to be walking down the street and he saw the boy taking his BB gun, cocking it, and shooting at the moon. He said, "Son, what are you shooting for?" And the boy said, "I'm shooting for the moon." And the man laughed and he said, "Son, don't you know that you'll not hit the moon with a BB?" That little boy looked at the man as serious as he could. And he said, "Well, sir, I'm going to get closer to it than you will." And that's one thing about a vision. It will get you closer to your goals than not having a vision. Someone said you can shoot for the stars and miss, but if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every single time. We don't want a church that aims for nothing. Amen? We want a church that's aiming to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, reach souls for the Savior, and be pleasing to the one who died for us, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I saw a poem many years ago, and it's called "I've Dreamed Many Dreams" by Ron DeMarco. I want to read it as introduction. It says, "I've dreamed many dreams that never came true. I've seen them vanish at dawn. But I've realized enough of my dreams, thank the Lord, to make me want to dream on. I prayed many prayers when no answers came, though I've waited patient and long. But answers have come to enough of my prayers to make me keep praying on. I've trusted many a friend that failed and left me to weep alone. But I've found enough of my friends that are really true that will make me keep trusting on. I've sown many seeds that have fallen by the way for the birds to feed upon. But I've held enough golden sheaves in my hand to make me keep sowing on. I've drunk from the cup of bitterness and disappointment and pain. I've gone many days without song, but I've sipped enough nectar from the roses of life to make me keep living on." I don't know about you. I have had a lot of visions and a lot of dreams for our church. All of them did not come true, but praise God, many of them did, and far greater dreams than I ever had, God has blessed us with as a church. And probably in your life, God has blessed your life so much more than you ever thought possible. Amen? Amen. I preached about vision, and I want to share the 3 points that I shared 36 years ago. We wanted to be a church that was founded on a vision, a biblical vision. We're not talking about aiming at the moon or shooting for the stars. We're talking about obeying the Scriptures, doing church the way God wanted church to be done. Now, we don't have a corner on the market. Praise God for the thousands, tens of thousands of good church, not only in this great country, but around this world, hundreds of thousands of good churches that preach the Word of God and are doing that even today around this world. We're just one of them. But praise God, I wanted Grandview Baptist Church to at least be one of the good churches preaching God's Word and reaching for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. We wanted a vision, first of all, of people. A vision of people. I told our church that day, I said, we're after people. Red and yellow, black and white, pink and chartreuse, it doesn't matter the color, it doesn't matter the nationality. If they're breathing, I said, we want them. If they're dead, we can let the other churches have them. But we want people, amen? Jesus died for people. Not just one special kind of people, but every shade of people upon the face of the earth, every kind of people, every language of people. And God wants us as a church to be responsible to reach as many people for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ as is humanly possible. In fact, as is supernaturally possible, because with God we can do far greater than we ourselves could ever do. God loves people, and we want a church that cares about people and has a vision for people. I mentioned three things about that. The early church, it first of all reached the masses. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I don't know about you, but that's what I call a big day at church. Amen? Amen. We've had some big days and we've had some wonderful times, but we've never come close to seeing 3,000 saved in one day and 3,000 baptized in one day and 3,000 join the church in one day. But praise God, that's the goal for churches. Not the number, but the desire and the vision to reach people for Christ, see them get saved, see them get baptized, see them get in church, plugged into church. Amen. And that's why you're here in the parking lot, because you're plugged into church. And I want to say a special thank you to you. As I preached 36 years ago, I didn't know who in that crowd were going to stick with us. But praise God, on our second Sunday, most of them did. And we even had some visitors, so that was exciting. A vision of people. They reached the masses. They reached the outcast. In Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we have Peter and John going to the temple, and they pass the gate beautiful. And here was a man who was lame. And he was saying, alms, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say unto you, arise, take up your bed and walk. And that's exactly what he did. You see, the early church cared for the outcast, the people that no one else cared about. And I said 36 years ago, Grandview Baptist Church is going to be a church that cares about everyone, those who are down and out, those who are trodden, those who are captured by drug abuse, those who have all sorts of turmoil in their life and are so discouraged. The church, I said, we are going to go after the people that the rest of the churches don't care about. We are going to love the outcast, love the downtrodden, love the lives that are filled with trouble. And that's exactly what we wanted to do. Many years ago, Thomas Aquinas was a famous writer and spiritual man way back in the, I think it was 1700s. And one day he was going through the Vatican, and the Pope happened to be there, and he knew Thomas Aquinas. And he said, Thomas, he said, no longer can the church say, silver and gold have I none. And Thomas Aquinas looked at the Pope and said, yes, but no longer can they say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I'd rather have God's power than the treasures of mankind. Amen? Amen. In Acts chapter 10, they reached the first Gentile, Cornelius by name. You see, they were following the pattern of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that reached out and touched the leopard and said, I will, be thou clean. He's the one that said to the woman taken in adultery, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. He was the one that looked up at Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going to eat at your house. You see, Jesus Christ cared for everyone. And we want to be a church that cares for the masses, but we also want to be a church that cares for the downcast and the outcast and the hurting. They also reached an individual. In New Testament days, they were going after individuals. They weren't all masses. The Bible tells us about Philip, who was having an evangelistic crusade, and the Spirit of God took Philip from that revival and put him out in the middle of the desert. But there he saw a chariot coming with an Ethiopian eunuch. And he was coming from the synagogue, and he had the book, the scroll of Isaiah, in his hands. And he was reading Isaiah 53, the gospel chapter of the Old Testament. And the Holy Spirit said to Stephen, go join yourself to that chariot. And that's exactly what he did. You see, God cares for masses of people, but he also cares for the soul of every single individual. And we've got to be a church that cares about everyone. That's one of the reasons we're going to Anchorage this afternoon, this evening. Several of us to go help a people and a church reach souls for the Christ that you and I may never see in our lifetime ever again. We may never see them this side of heaven. But that's the same reason we've started churches all throughout this area. Many of you don't know, but Grandview Baptist Church has had a hand in starting over 25 churches throughout the Northwest alone. And we have funded them for a year or two or sometimes 3 years at a time. God has used our church because we care about individuals that you and I don't know. Jesus Christ cares for the world. And you and I have to have a vision of people. And that's the first thing I wanted our church to have, a vision for people. I think I can truthfully say, here at Grandview Baptist Church, for all these years, we've cared about people. We've loved people. And I want to say to the good members of our church, I know you love people too. Amen? Amen. When you come to Grandview, it's not a place to get lost. It's a place to get greeted. It's a place to get loved on. We want you to be a part of our family, and you're like a family member. We want you to know that you're loved. We want to care for you. We want to pray for you. We want to be a blessing to you for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. A vision of people. The second thing I said is we want a vision of power. A vision of power. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, the Bible says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. 36 years ago, we met in a rented building. The chairs we had were rented. Everything we had was rented except the 50 songbooks we had. But I told our people, I said, we're coming from humble beginnings. But God has the power and the resources for everything we'll ever need as a church. And I believe that then, and I believe that today, that God is always our source. The Holy Spirit of God is the power that a church needs to get the work of God done. Many years ago, as a young preacher, I heard this statement. I've never been able to get away from it. And it says, doing the work of God in the power of the flesh is like trying to beat back the tide with a pitchfork. It's the most frustrating thing you can ever do. But when you look to God and you trust the Holy Spirit of God, who has the power to change lives and save souls, when you look to the Holy Spirit, and for His power and His anointing and His blessing on our lives and on our church. It's amazing what God can do when the Holy Spirit of God gets in it. Amen? Amen. When you teach that Sunday school class, you want the power of God on your life so the Word of God gets into the heart of every listener. When you preach that sermon, you want the Holy Spirit of God to empower it so the truth gets out and changes lives. When you do anything for the cause of Christ, even giving a cup of cold water, we want to do it in the power and in the energy of the Holy Spirit of God. It is not what man can do. It is only what God can do that matters. And as a church, now these 36 years later that we have resources and properties and buildings, may I warn all of us, we will never put our trust in property. We will never put our trust in buildings. We will always trust the Holy Spirit of God to change lives. It is His power we need, not just things. Amen? Amen. It was power for a purpose. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The Bible is telling us they had power for a purpose. God's power is not just so we have a service and all feel good. God's power is not that He blesses us with things like land and buildings. God's power is for reaching others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Witnesses. Witnesses. And that's what God wants of every one of us. Now I know we all witness in different ways, but we're all trusting the Holy Spirit to use our feeble attempts to see others come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. 36 years ago, I reminded our people, we are not looking for how big a church we can build on planet Earth. We are looking to see how many people we can send to heaven having shared Jesus Christ with them. The size of a church is never should never be figured out by how many can fit on a property. It needs to be thought about is how many are they sending to heaven by seeing people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That has always been our focus, and it will continue to always be our focus. Amen and amen. The power of the Holy Spirit for a purpose to see souls come to faith in Jesus Christ. It is power wrought by prayer. In Acts chapter 4, they were told they could not teach or preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And having been told that, they assembled together in prayer. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God came down and filled them with boldness. And with great boldness, they went out in Acts chapter 4 and shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that many of you were like me when I was a teenager. I was very shy and timid. I was taught I should always pray before I knocked on a door to witness. And so here's what I'd pray. I'd say, "Dear Lord, please help them not to be home." Because I was so shy and I didn't know what to say. And I was always awkward. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is not. He's not shy. He's not awkward. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. I always thought that was something I should be. That's not true. That's something the Holy Spirit of God already is. He's as bold as a lion. All I have to do is when I become a witness, is I just have to yield myself to the Holy Spirit and let Him say what needs to be said. Remember, Jesus even told His disciples, He said, "In the day they bring you up before the courts, don't even think about what you're going to say, because in that hour, The Holy Spirit of God is going to give you what you need to say. We can trust the Holy Spirit of God. Power for a purpose, to win souls for Christ. Power wrought by prayer, to have the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives. And then power for guidance and direction. In Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit spoke to the church and said, "Separate me, Paul and Silas, for the work unto I've called them." And the church sent out their first missionaries. Praise God for that. And then in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul tried to go one place and the Lord shut the door. He tried to go another place and the Lord shut the door. But that night he went to sleep and he had a vision in his sleep of a man in Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." And when he woke up, he said, we were assured that the Holy Spirit of God wanted us to go into Macedonia and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Power for guidance and direction. I said, first of all, we have to have a vision of people. Secondly, we have to have a vision of power. We've got to have God's power on our life. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Amen? Amen. Let's never forget that. It's not how good the sermon. It's not how beautiful the buildings. It's not how wonderful the singing group is. If God doesn't do something in the heart of men and women, boys and girls, it's all in vain. We've got to have God working every time we gather. We've got to have God working every time we serve Him. And that comes from the power that only the Holy Spirit of God has. And by the way, you can have that if you just simply say, "Holy Spirit, I'm nothing. But please help me as I serve you. I yield myself to you." And you'll be surprised how the Holy Spirit of God will help you when you feel so unworthy and when you feel so unable to serve the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God has everything you and I lack. And He's the one that can get the job done for Jesus Christ. A vision of people, all kinds of people. A vision of power that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And a vision of priority. Priority. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. "This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," the Apostle Paul said. Jesus Christ came into the world, or Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's the priority. And by the way, may I say, that's the missing priority in many churches today. If you didn't know better, you'd think it's some spiritual social club. Praise God for friendships. Praise God for fellowships. Praise God for buildings and programs and singing and preaching. But we must never forget as a church that we're here for a purpose. And the only reason we're here after we got saved and we're already ready for heaven is to tell someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ so they too can go to heaven. A vision of priority. Seeing souls saved. Seeing souls led to the Lord Jesus Christ. They shared a simple message. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." A simple message. But a simple message that can change our eternity. Change our eternity. The greatest joy of seeing someone come to faith in Christ is to know that you've just witnessed someone's eternal destiny has just been changed right in front of your eyes. They were bound for hell, and now they're bound for heaven because they've trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They shared a simple plan. Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. If we come to the end of our life and we stand before a holy God in our own righteousness, we are hell bound because the wages of sin is eternal death in hell forever and ever and ever. But here's the good news. The third thing is that Jesus paid for our sin debt. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for us. Amen. Amen. And not only us, but for every person on the face of the earth. He wants us to send out missionaries to every country. He wants us to start as many churches, as many cities as we possibly can. He wants us to reach far and wide throughout this area to share the gospel in every way that we possibly can, because Jesus Christ died for sinners. And then the fourth thing is Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to join the church. You don't have to get baptized to go to heaven. That is a step of Christian obedience. You don't have to give money to go to heaven, but you have to call on Jesus to save you. And if you humbly call and ask Jesus Christ to save you, He will save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. When you go to God the Father through Jesus Christ, He is there to accept you in His loving arms. He is there to forgive you of your sins forever. And He is there to one day assure you that heaven is your eternal home, because He's taken us there one day. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Amen. Amen. Well, with all the calamity we've seen this year, we're about ready to go. Amen. Yeah, we're ready for heaven already, but we're here to do whatever God wants done. I want to end with one story. I heard of a church many years ago. Whether it's true or not, I heard the story. And the story goes that there was a church that was just really excited and really on fire for the things of God. I mean, they were winning souls. They were seeing people baptized. They were seeing the church grow. And they had a name in the community as a church that was reaching people for the Savior. They had a pastor that had a vision for lost souls. And it's so much so that on the outside of their church, right above the front doors, they put up a sign. It was all made of individual letters. And what they put up is, without a vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And they had that right over the front of their church. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And my, how God used that church in a mighty way throughout its community. A young man grew up in that church. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ in that church. When he got into his college years, he went off to college and got an education. And then he got a job in a different state. Many years passed. And as an adult, he had to go back to the very city he was raised up in for business. And he was sort of excited about it, because he said, I want to go see the church where I got saved. I want to go see the church that had such a vision, such an impact on their community, because it changed my life and my eternal destiny. So he drove by and he comes to the same building, but things are not the same. He goes up and finds out the doors are locked. He looks around and sees that the grass is all grown up and nobody's taking care of the building. He saw that the parking lot was falling apart. It needed painting, the building itself. It looked like it had been abandoned. And he got to thinking, how could that be? It was such a vital church. It had such a vision, such a goal of reaching people for Christ. But then he looked up at the letters. Those letters were, as a boy, he would read, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And one of the letters had fallen down. The W. So instead of reading, "Where there is no vision, the people perish," here's what it read: "Here there is no vision, the people perish." May I remind us as a church, let's never, ever take for granted that God is the one who gives us the vision. God's Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us for the vision. And you and I as believers are the ones who take our marching orders from the Word of God, and we witness to as many people as we can to see people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May it never be said of this church on the corner, "Here there is no vision, the people perish." 36 years ago, I told those 75 people, I spoke to about half of them. Miss Vicki had the rest of them in children's church. But I spoke to the adults and teenagers. And I said, I'd rather meet in an abandoned warehouse and sense the power and presence of God Almighty than the fanciest buildings that anyone could ever build and not sense the Holy Spirit of God working in my heart. Amen? Amen. So may I remind us all this 36 years later, this land, these buildings, these microphones, these things that God has given us, they're just tools. That's all they are. They're just tools. But if we don't use them, they'll be rusty tools that won't get the job done. Let's thank God for what He's given us these 36 years. But let's decide that we're not here for the tools. We're here for the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, that's what I wanted to share last week. I finally got to share it 36 years and one Sunday later. But I'm certainly glad I got to share my heart about this church. May it ever be said, we follow the Word of God and we follow the plan of Jesus Christ to reach people for the Savior. If you're here watching, or if you're in the parking lot, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, won't you today open your heart and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I want to help word a simple prayer. It's not a prayer that saves you. It's an open heart that saves you. But a prayer is simply the expression of your heart. And if you will ask Jesus to save you, He will save you. He will come into you and cleanse you of your sin forever. It doesn't make you a perfect person. It makes you a forgiven person. Forgiven for all eternity. And forever we'll sing His praises in heaven because of the day and the moment and the hour He forgave us of all of our sins. You could pray something like this. Let's bow our heads for prayer. You could pray something like, "Jesus, I ask You to save me. I believe in You, Jesus. I place my faith in You. please take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Well, God bless you this morning. I hope you were as challenged as I was to preach the message 36 years ago. I guess I got a little excited. And may I say, I'm still excited about the vision that God has given us. And I think I'm going to be excited to the day I draw my last breath. Praise God. Let's have a church that's excited for Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. My wife and I could not tell you, could not begin to tell you how much we love you and appreciate you and what a blessing you have been in our hearts, in our lives, to be a part of this church that God has been building. We appreciate you, we love you, we pray for you, and I trust you'll have a great afternoon. Tune in tonight at 5 p.m. and you're going to hear one of our fine men preaching the Word of God. God bless you and have a wonderful day. Amen.